AI is wiping out, again, the individualism of a company. So when you're getting a search result, you're getting a mix of results from different websites all collated into one search result. So it does technically give credit to those companies, but it's essentially wiping them out. Your average person doesn't even know that you can click into the information that you're receiving in the search result and get the website that that snippet of information is coming from.
Welcome to the AI Vantage, where modern leaders decode the future of tech. I'm Solomon Williams, founder of Solonauts. So here, it's no noise, no hype every week. Sometimes it's just me, and sometimes it's the brightest minds in tech, breaking down what it really takes to grow smarter with AI and automation. Let's dive in. Welcome to AI Advantage. I'm your host, Solomon Williams. We have a special guest in here today. I have Sarah Jolly. She's the managing partner at Jolly Creative Agency. So, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on. Like, after our conversation we had earlier, I was really excited to have you on and really get your thoughts on trends and just learning more about you. So can you just introduce yourself to the audience and just let us know, you know, who you are?
Yeah, thanks so much for that nice introduction. I did have a good chat initially, so I'm excited for this too. As you mentioned, I'm Sarah. I work at a family-run digital marketing agency and website agency. We build custom websites, and of course, we do the digital marketing that goes along with them. We've been in the business for over 13 years, and it's really interesting to see how AI is starting to affect our industry. I mean, starting to is late to the game, how it is affecting our industry. Yeah, so this will be a fun conversation today.
Yeah, it is. And you know, I'm really curious on it, just on, from the family run side. It's been for 13 years. So were you all like, were you always originally wanting to have like build off a creative agency? Like, did you already knew in your mind that you wanted to build off of it?
Yeah, great question. We have a really different origin story. Most like agencies that I know of or network with or am friends with owners, they come from agencies. They're like a talent in an agency and then they break off and start their own thing. And we started not that way, completely from an organic background. Is I actually freelanced for several years and in design. I started as a graphic designer, but I was super interested in websites. And this was like back in the very beginning of like WordPress coming onto the scene. You couldn't Google how to code. You had to read books. So I had like a book of CSS. I had a book of how to Photoshop. And I just learned everything from scratch and have always been like a really super creative, ambitious person. So just started totally organically, got some freelance clients, and then it went so well that I was able to just do that full time. And then as it started to grow, my mom is my business partner, and she was just leaving management position at a company. And I said, like, we've always gotten along, like house on fire, super good chemistry between us. That's always kind of been our dream to work together. We never thought it would be in this capacity. But I said, hey, I've been freelancing for a while. It's going really good. I need help. And I think we could turn it into something real. Do you want to do this? And so she took the business management side. I had the creative side. And then we created Jolly Creative. And the takeoff was rocky. But lots of years of experience under your belt. In fact, when we hire, we tell our people that are coming on board, or even when we're choosing who to bring on board to our team, experience is king. Experience in this industry is so much more important than any sort of like degree or like paperwork in it, because it moves and changes so fast. So so our background is completely experience organized, like ground roots, but that's how we got in it together. And we brought my brother on board a few years ago around COVID. He came up in the movie industry. He went to Chapman University and did some films that went to, now I'm probably going to butcher this, Cannes, Sundance. He's got a documentary on HBO. He was doing really well in that space. And then COVID shut down that industry and we scooped him up. He's a super creative mind. And somehow we've been able to keep him on our team. Although we keep thinking each year he's going to go back to film. He was really, really brilliant at it. But he has this great storytelling mind because of his background. So he has, through the years, developed into our creative director. So he now manages the full creative eye, the storytelling eye for our website builds.
Wow, that's great. And I love having it to where that you have it to where it's mostly family dynamics, because, you know, sometimes in the business world that you don't want to mix with family from. But I love that you had it from your mom on the managing side or your brother on the creative, and it's really worked out well. It's really refreshing to really see that it worked on that.
We joke all the time, we should start a podcast about family business, because that's a whole other thing to master.
It is. Yeah. And, you know, to the point, you know, with your brother having on the creative side, I know just of going over with doing the due diligence of like what makes, you know, Jolly really stand out is really your heart-centered storytelling on the executive, on the client base. Do you feel like your brother kind of helps with that, with him bringing in that storytelling and so forth else from the creative, from the movie industry, that helped to really build that off? Or was that more of a family sense? Tell me a little bit about like what made you want to focus more on that heart-centered side for your clients.
Wow, that's a really insightful question. I would definitely say that is the heartbeat of our work. So we've always had that as a philosophy in building a website, even in our teamwork amongst our own team. Like we have a very low turn rate on our team, because I think when you lead with heart and you find the right people, you know, you have an energy that keeps you together. And the same with a clientele. Yeah. So that has definitely been like a theme since the beginning of our agency. But I would definitely say that Grant brings that to light through the aesthetic of each website, because each brand is a story to tell, has something really unique about it. It could be a really unique owner. It could be a really unique story that they need to get out. It could be an impact story. We do some cool work with some .orgs that have, of course, like a natural built-in story to them. But it doesn't matter what industry you're in. We've sold toilet seat covers, out of order toilet seat covers. And we have a client that does very well in that space. And they have a unique story to tell. So it's extremely important. There's a human component that you can never take out of. I guess if you take it out, it just feels so bland. It feels so, there's nothing to connect with. And that human connection, we believe, will never go away. And if you can learn to be even more authentic, even big corporations can learn to be more authentic with their brand, then it can reach your audience in a whole new level, and you'll get loyalty for years and decades to come. So, yeah.
You know, I really like that, because it really, especially nowadays, especially with the whole purpose of AI and just even just the market now, people wanting to gravitate more with podcasts and with content creation, with, you know, now with it, like people are really wanting to know more about the personal story, right? Especially from a business perspective. And I think, you know, Jolly Creative with your team, like with the family, that's such an intricate part of it, of having it to where your mother, your brother, you're all working together. You have this full turnover. You're looking more towards on the art-centered side. So do you feel like with AI coming forward and, you know, with user-generated content and so forth else, just from what you've seen on the trend, do you see that people are still moving, wanting to gravitate and crave more of that human connection? Or do you see the trend going more as AI gets more, they're smarter and more being able to have these new features, if that's going to be taken away? Like, how are you trending for that to make sure that Jolly kind of keeps ahead on that?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, kind of multi-layered question. I think the cleanest answer is you can never replace the heart and uniqueness of a person, of a brand. I think that AI can be really complementary to getting that message out, to kind of like all the supplementary steps that need to be taken to amplify a message. I think AI is excellent for that. This is something we kind of touched on, I think, in our initial conversation, was that I am noticing in our industry, I mean, people are trying to experiment with AI, right? They're trying to figure out like how it's going to fit for their business, how it's going to fit. Could we do something faster? Everyone's like, can we do something faster? Can we get out of here quicker? Can we like, can I make my life easier? So like I work one-on-one with a lot of business owners or like C-suite. And it's kind of fun to see how people are experimenting with their AI. Certain people are, got one owner I work with who's fantastic. He's like a really smart analytics person. And he's figured out how to use AI to amplify his analytics and like analytic thinking. So like connecting spreadsheets together, connecting like intelligent thought together. But he's always the one coming up with the idea. And that's kind of like the key concept. I have other owners who are exploring and they're going like, Sarah, I went to AI and I said, if I want to be the next Steve Jobs, and here's the product I have, and here's what I'm doing, make me my whole plan. And in fact, what should my product be? And that kind of approach with AI falls so incredibly short because it's missing the individualism, the heart, even the mistakes that people make. Like, I mean, there are like really famous examples of mistakes throughout history in our industry, in marketing, in music, in art, that become like the most important and the most valued thing about that output. And so when I see ownership using AI and they're considering AI to be another C-suite player in their company, that's a really unsuccessful use of AI. But when people are using AI to be like their support staff, it's a really successful use of AI in our industry. I could go into that much, much more, but so will the heart ever be taken out? In my opinion, absolutely not. You're never going to get a true creative experience from an AI model as we see it now. You know, who knows what the future could bring, but yeah, I mean, especially with social media and everything, like you want to know who someone is. You want to know what makes them different. I want to be able to relate to you. And AI tends to, especially at this point, have a level of perfectionism that is unrelatable. So there's also an aspect of that when it comes to branding and like in our, you know, in our industry in marketing, unrelatable is not useful to us. So in the things that need to be precise, like edit this document, edit this email, certain things like that, right? Like perfect. But when it comes from like a conception standpoint, it's just missing the mark in so many ways. Yeah.
And I think it goes back to even on previously of what you mentioned that I really liked is that the where it's at now, it's being used as the as an intern or executive assistant level where it's supposed to be helping so forth else. And to what you've mentioned before, and I think if I remember correctly, is just based off of you want the AI because exactly as you mentioned before, you know, someone's asking Steve Jobs and that it's going to bring about this whole output of this is what you need to do. It's going to give, you have to, first off, you have to be aware of that it can be more of a yes man, that it doesn't have that experience on that side to say, let's think of it differently, like, or on that side, it's going to continue to encourage. And so, as you said before, with one of your clients, he's more analytical thinking that now you need to put more individualism into it and have it be able to think as you. There's one example of even what I've used with a previous client of that for emailing that we've adjusted it to, we've given the data around how he talks and his emails and so forth else and how it learns how to speak like him and, you know, iteration after iteration. So as you mentioned, it's just now it's being a helper as to the guide of it, still having that human focus, but now it's more individualistic of that side and brings that personality and so forth else that helps you along to the goal that you're going for. Now they're just giving you a generated speak of what you need to do.
That's such a good point. That's really cool too. And you're right about so many things you said. Well, one, about using it to like program and reprogram and reprogram until it's mimicking. And that goes along with what you said as well about AI can be a yes man. It's never going to challenge you. It's literally programmed to agree with you and to go, that's really smart, Solomon. What a good idea, Solomon. It does sound like you could probably sell a million copies of that software. But if you come in and then say the opposite, well, what about this? Well, I don't know if this is a good idea. They'll go, yeah, Solomon, good thinking that might not be a good idea because of X, Y, and Z. It's just information regurgitating that has everything to do with what you said, like how it is being micro-programmed for the use case. So in a general sense, how a lot of people have like their favorite AI that they're using like for search or for research or for creation. If anyone's not watching the video, I'm doing with air quotes, creation. It's really generalized. But it is interesting, speaking of that, our industry is certainly going to change. It is becoming the new search engine. So the way that it can sort through data is certainly like far superior to what we have now. There just comes a question of like, what data is it sorting through?
So I'm curious on that. Like, what are you seeing now as the trend? As you said, like now it's becoming the new search engine. Like, what are you seeing moving forward?
Yeah, good question. I think without a doubt, search engines will change. Without a doubt, I'm not sure 100% when that will happen. The technology is already there for AI to be our primary search model, but just like, you know, with our smartphones now, you had to release iteration after iteration after iteration so that the general public could learn how to use it. That's, in my opinion, where AI is at now. I have a really close colleague who did a lot of the programming and worked on the programming teams at Amazon and programmed for search intent on Amazon, and then has since broken out and made his own tech company, and they really focus in the AI space. And they're completely convinced that it will be the new search. So the sooner you can get into AI and get yourself indexed, the better. I have questions around that, around your how your average person or your average business owner is going to use that. Because certainly like big tech, big corporate, it makes a lot of sense. But AI is wiping out, again, the individualism of a company. So when you're getting a search result, you're getting a mix of results from different websites all collated into one search result. So it does technically give credit to those companies, but it's essentially wiping them out. Your average person doesn't even know that you can click into the information that you're receiving in the search result and get the website that that snippet of information is coming from. So I think there's still a long way to go, because I imagine that businesses will have a little bit of a kickback when it's essentially like it's a way of stealing, right? I mean, I think it's going to be a little murky on the business side, because you're just scraping a ton of information and putting it out. It does have credit, but not the credit it used to have. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how that goes. But essentially, the whole game is being coded for commerce. So it'll just become a new platform for commerce, and you'll pay to play just the way you do, you know, like in a Google search now. Yeah, I think it'll for sure go that direction.
With that, with, you know, thinking of it in terms of like the average person utilizing that, because it's, you know, you hear about it so much, whether it's on our phone, on our timeline, or you know, this AI is like here, and it's a very marketed, overhyped, and you know, where does someone even get started? So how do you think, like, should businesses or more the on the smaller businesses side can like protect their content or like maintain that visibility, you know, with these AI search models or in on that side, you would think?
Yeah, I guess it depends. Small business is sometimes like a gray term, because it could look like an individual or mom pop shop. Some small businesses are actually like super profitable. So yeah. It would be slightly different answers, because certainly like budget comes into play with all those things. I think some cool things that are going to come out for small businesses is like instead of search intent, which for anyone listening is like the difference between going like I'm Googling water, and then Google's trying to understand, well, is it because you're thirsty or you live in a rainy city or you're interested in how much it costs to like to have water, your running water at your house, like in a like a bill. So, right. That's like super general concept of search intent. AI kind of takes that away, because as things get better, they're tracking your every movement all the time. So I think some ways that will help like a small business is it can make them more visible for an audience that is local to that area, Like, for example, I live in a small town in the central coast of California. So it could be really incredible, like for a place like this, because it'll make small businesses more visible. It'll be able to see I'm here. It'll be able to see what I've been interested in and give me even smarter results that way. But in terms of like how it's being used now, AI, it's much more of like an information gatherer, like a resource that way. And small businesses really haven't invested that way in their own websites. There's not enough information on their websites. And even if there were, it's just getting scraped into like a search query. It's not going to have a lot of kickback for like, I don't know, let's say like a gift shop or like a shoe shop. But an industry that would do really well right now would be like anything involved in like travel, tourism. We are a tourism town here in wine country. So like a great thing that AI can do and how a lot of people are using it is like, I'm going to be here on these dates. What's happening on these dates? Can you book an itinerary for me? And that will pull off all your local websites and put a whole itinerary. So in ways like that, could it really help a small business to be found and get seen? I don't think it's in a place yet where like, it's really industry specific. That's how I would say it. It's not for everyone yet.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see. I'm excited to see how it moves forward and transitions over. I wanted to kind of transition more on the creative, on the agency side for you. So with the clients right now, just with the business side, with the adjusting more to AI having it into the search engine, with it bringing about the summary, I just wanted to just curious on like, on the trend as the business as a whole right now in the creative space, like what has really been working now and like, what is the trend that you're seeing currently?
Yeah. So what we're seeing is in terms of like AI being productive in a creative space, and we work with a lot of imagery and copy, right? That's like the two, like imagery, copy, code, like the fundamentals of our business. In terms of imagery, we're so far off from that being useful in our industry. I could see that model getting better one day and then it being quite useful in our industry to be able to like curate an image or a look or something that's really specific. In terms of code, again, it's far off from being able to be super useful at the level of which we operate. I think probably at a more like beginner level, maybe there are some platforms that are coming out where AI is like coding websites and things like that. Potentially that could be useful from a really entry level space. We're like far beyond what that could produce at this time, because everything behind AI is like, it's again, the person, right? It's a learning mechanism. So it's only as good as the prompt. It's only as good as what it's learning from its model. And so like, while it's not useful for us yet, because the technology isn't there, I can't imagine it's also useful for someone who's just coming onto the scene. Like, hey, I'm a small business. I don't have the money to work with an agency. I'm going to try to use some of these tools. If you don't know the prompts to make it, it's just going to be another tool. Like, again, like WordPress sounded really great. Like these template sites sound really great, right? Like that was kind of like 2 decades ago, like when that was on the scene, it was like, whoa, mind blowing. We can just make our own websites now. But unless you understand how to connect a message with imagery, with connection, with that UX experience and marketing experience, again, you're just going to have kind of like, it'll exist, but it'll be this kind of fallen apart, like low level. Could miss like really important data on it. We'll be missing all of the metadata on it. So in terms of like imagery and development, it's really like not useful for us at this time. Well, in terms of copywriting and with research, writing things like that can be incredibly useful. So that is helpful for our team. Like when we're doing research about an industry, we're not an industry specific agency. We pick, again, like back to the heart theme. We connect with clients and the clients we connect with, like a house on fire, then we're going to do a sick project together. So we're looking for clients with heart that are usually doing good in the world and something that sparks joy in our whole team. And those are the clients we choose to work with. So because of that, we're always having to research like, okay, how can we learn everything about you so we can really bring you to the table? So from a research standpoint, AI is awesome. And then also from like an editing standpoint, editing some like content down, like revising, finishing stuff like that. That's fantastic. I think it's the right, like right brain, left brain thing where like usually when people are very visual and creative, like right. And then your writing skills are on the opposite side of the brain, I believe. So we find in our agency, like everyone's using, I think it's Left Brain. And so it's really helped to have like an editor now on our team to be like grammar, punctuation. So that's been incredibly helpful. Of course, from like kind of a assistant level, it's helpful. We have certain programs we work with that just like make some of the systems a little bit easier for us. And then also like when you get a little tongue-tied, like you have a great idea, you have a great concept of how you want to say something. And it's kind of fun to get the ball rolling to be like, hey, AI, give me 10 different ways to say this. What are 20 different words for this word? So we also kind of use it in a playful way like that. And then depending on what the results are, then our whole team can kind of play off of that. But we really use it in a assistant style way. It'll be fun to see over the next, you know, probably 5 years how it'll come up. I could completely see it in the future replacing development, which is bad because developers who were incredibly intelligent made AI, but I could very much see that putting them out of a job one day. Not tomorrow or anything, but yeah.
I remember even when, you know, because I was doing engineering work before when ChatGPT came out, there was this whole worry of, you know, now it can do the code. And I remember there's this big frantic in our community of like saying, well, it's going to take away from engineers and, you know, others writing code. And, you know, now, as you said now, but, you know, 5 years, even how much is everything has even just progressed in the last, you know, since in the last 4 years or so, it's just been dramatic now, especially now with the term of agent based of where it can be able to do cascading tasks and so forth. So I'm real curious to see just how it goes on its side. So with AI just being used as an assistant, and you're focusing more on the branding from companies that are well known and so forth. Like, what would you say is your vision, Sarah, of what the outcomes that you're most focused on with your like improving your with your current clients or on your future clients, what you're looking more towards?
In terms of also how like AI will come into that essentially,
or just in general with as a whole, yeah.
Yeah, a space that we're obviously getting into is like getting our clients in the early days into the new search, which is AI. So you can essentially pay for placement in some of the engines currently. You can also, there's a certain like meta coding that you can put on the back end of your site that allows AI to scrape easier. So there's ways that we're getting our clients more visibility that way. It's definitely a little, I'll say it this way, our clients are really excited about it because you have more visibility and like the metrics look great. It's easy to show a report because you get like essentially, I'll say in kind of a layman's terms, you kind of get like an SEO credit for showing up in an AI search. So it looks great on paper. And I'm not discouraging that at all. I think it needs to be that way. In my personal opinion, it's a little bit of a risky investment because you don't know what is ultimately going to happen with that information in the end. Are you investing in something that is going to kind of strip your brand away from you? Probably not. It's probably just going to turn into a new search engine that we can all now pay for something brand new to be on. But I just think coming back to the human side of it, I don't want it to sound like it's not important to get on. It is. Obviously, we wouldn't be doing it for our clients otherwise. But I have this conversation often with our clients of like, but let's look at how that's really going to affect your business and not how that's going to look good on paper. And a lot of marketing agencies, I think, are really happy with the result if it's on paper. Like, I can come back to you with a report and say, you showed up in so many XYZ results. But I like to really have these conversations with our clients and go like, is it actually helping your business though today? Let's put a certain amount of our input into that. And then let's also focus on how that's really going to convert for you and not just get excited about, yeah, it's such a like pop word right now. Like, ooh, yeah, ooh, we're in, you know, and there's just a lot of like, I guess I'd say like mystery around it a little bit still. Like, you can get placed in it and you can get, and again, in certain industries, it makes a lot of sense. I guess it reminds me just a bit of like when social came on the scene and businesses started to realize you can do really well on social. And that's a really smart marketing avenue, like incredibly smart marketing avenue. You can spend hardly any money and have an incredible reach on social. but is it right for every single business? Like, just be smart. I guess that's all I'm saying. Be smart about your business and not like with the hype of everything. There's certain clients where it makes like so much sense for them to be on AI. Again, we're in a tourist town here. So a lot of our like local clients, it makes so much sense. There's other clients we have, it just doesn't make as much sense. And so I always like to be honest with our clients about that, because we're all about marketing in ways that truly move the needle for you and not ways that just sound hypey. So it's hard to say a little bit. We'll certainly be expanding in that area, but I can only expand in it as much as it makes sense for my actual real clients. So we're never going to bring them in a direction that's like not ultimately going to make sense for their business.
Right. And I love that on the side, I think it gets caught up. And even when you're more not into the leadership side with being the visionary for your own company and so forth, what is actually, as you said, and I love what the term that you use, moving the needle, because there's so much noise of going forward on the analytics and it looks great on what is actually pressing it forward. So Sarah, I'm like, has that always been the forefront of your mind, even on your freelance days, of having it to where what's actually moving the needle? Or just over time, if you've seen with your mom as the managing partner, just over time, has that just been implemented more, or you've like worked with clients and seen like on saying, hey, here are the three indicators that you need to focus on? Has that always been there, or has it just been increasing over time for you?
I would say like from a morality level, that's always been there. And I'm not calling people who don't do that like immoral or anything like that. But I would say that I think I got into this industry kind of naive. And I've always been this way as a person. Like, I just assume that everybody wants to be doing good for everybody else all the time. And I've learned a naive way of thinking and looking at the world. But I also never want to lose that quality about myself. And that's certainly like a lifeline that runs in our business. And unfortunately, as we grew in this industry, we started to realize not everybody operates from that like fundamental belief. It unfortunately is an industry where like people don't know what the heck you're talking about. You could come on and be like, we souped up all your technical SEO and all your metadata looks great and it's getting run through these threads. And I can tell you that you're getting this many impressions, and it can sound super cool. And you're like, yeah. My marketing team's doing so awesome for me. They're doing X, Y, Z. But like, how much do you hear like, oh, I had a marketing team that just totally screwed me over. I spent thousands of dollars with them. They were showing me these cool metrics and it did nothing. I maybe got one new client from it. That kind of stuff just makes me feel icky inside. And so, so that's always been our MO. I could go into that so much deeper, like if we have time to do like 2 minutes on it. Even in getting in this industry, we started simply by doing websites. We actually did not start with the marketing side, because so many agencies do everything. And there's kind of this like, there's a salesmanship, right, in what we do of like, we're doing it all really well. But I know behind the scenes, you have to be such an expert at what you're doing in each one of these individual fields. It is literally impossible. Technically impossible, but it's unrealistic to think that, especially like a boutique agency, even these large agencies, like they have such a high churn rate. Those people in certain roles don't really know what they're doing. And so we were like, we're going to start in the niche of website design and development. We're not going to do anything else. We're just going to get partners in other areas to help our clients. And so we were fully website design and development for like probably half of our business's lifetime. So probably like around 6 years. And we were like, we're going to be the best at this one thing. We're going to make sure that when clients come to us, like they are getting the best of the best, the cleanest code, the fastest site, like fantastic UX design. And then we're going to expand these other areas as we know that we can be the best expert in those areas. So that is how like our business has evolved in that way. But yeah, so even like expanding into AI, I'm not going to come out the gate. It's not old enough yet, unless you're in that space, unless you're my friend who's like literally developing programs to get you into AI searches, right? Unless you're like that expert, you're learning as everybody else is learning. So I'm always just in the business of being honest about that. We're learning as everybody else is learning. There's some ways we're helping our clients now with getting searches and found. But the more I learn, I just also question things like, I mean, I sat down with that friend and I said, okay, I've got these five clients. I would love to put them in your search engine, but what's really going to be helpful? Are they really going to get found with this? And we went one by one through the particular clients that I thought would be great for that service. And really only one of them fit the bill. And that was a private jet company that flies specifically to Paso. So I went through our roster and we went, I mean, I was like, what about this? What about this industry? What about this industry? What about this? What about? And he went, yeah, really only the private jet would be the best here because it's specific, it's travel oriented, super niched. And so I was like, okay. So, and that's coming from someone who's literally at the top 20% of who's developing some of these programs. So in my opinion, it's just not ready for everybody yet. But if it's ready for you, jump on it, but also just like be thoughtful about like, that's where that human side comes in. Like, be thoughtful, be like, if you ask AI, is it good for me? AI is going to agree with you. You know, yeah, it's going to be good for you, Sarah. It's going to be awesome for you, Solomon. You go, well, what about this? Yeah, it'll be that yes man again. Yeah, I don't know. It might not be good. So I guess just be thoughtful how you use it, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely, you have to bring more of a strategic mind, you know, to it and on that side to really think on that, you know? So I love like on the side, because you get so caught up and you want to do so many things, but I really liked how you started off. It was really, let's get really good with graphic design on the design of the website and the build out for the UI UX. And then it went on from there and brought out. So with it, where you are now with Jolly Creative, like where do you want the agency to be in like the next 6 to 12 months? What's your vision?
In the next 6 to 12 months, we're still, I'd love for us to continue to grow. And the marketing side is super interesting right now, obviously, because of like these changes. So I have a particular passion in that. We'll never get away from our roots creating awesome websites. So now I feel so grateful where our agency is at. We're getting to build quite large scale sites, large database sites. We'll never get away from our roots with that. I love it. But where my interest is and where we're certainly growing is definitely in that marketing space. And then seeing how these new tools can fit for clients and exactly which ones we can really see a takeoff of success for. So I would say it's pretty much the trajectory that we're on. But yeah, within the next year, I very much expect that marketing side will just continue to grow with the new tools that are being presented right now in the new platforms.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, especially when the market, I know there's, even on the marketing side, that now you have it to where you can utilize the AI avatar to be able to create the ads for. Obviously, as you said, there's what is going to work with each industry, which client, but it's amazing to kind of see on where it can be utilized and how we can fit it in, whether that's paid marketing through the different socials or through the search engine, and now how is AI going to play that part? So I'm really curious, as you said, with the marketing side, because that's the big part, especially with the branding, how do we implement that effectively?
Yeah, 100%. It'll be interesting to see how it continues to grow. I know it's only going to get better, right? Like the first smartphones, like we were okay still like typing like 333-222, you know, to get like a text message out. So, you know, I mean, like when you see how fast like technology changes, certainly AI is going to blow us absolutely out of the water. It'll be interesting to see how it changes. And we'll just keep, we're in an education space right now. Like my peers and us, we're attending webinars, seminars. We're talking amongst ourselves, what's working for your clients, what's working for us. Sharing that information is just really important. And I think that's a fun thing about our industry. And what's always kept me really interested in our industry is there is so much to learn all the time. It's an always changing, boring industry. And I respect the people in it who approach that honestly and don't come in and go, I know exactly. Like, it would be impossible. That should be a red flag if you hear that from someone in our industry. That would be impossible to do.
So it's because there, again, it's so much to digest and be able to know on every aspect, because it's, as you said, there's so many silos that you need to really be good at to bring it all as a whole. So that is on the side. So with that being said, and now that you're getting more in the education space, but what would you say if you could solve one major challenge in the marketing of the creative agency, what would you say?
Like as a whole in our industry, or like, for, oh yeah,
yeah,
as a whole?
Yeah, that's what you see.
genuinely, if I could change one thing, I'm trying to decide what side of the industry to kind of pick and choose from. There's an extreme lack of like transparency in our industry. And I think that that is difficult for clients who don't know which agency to pick. They don't know if it's going to be, you know, a successful partnership or not. People will get on calls and interviews and sell themselves to you, and you're just like believing them, right? Like you have that to go off of, or an RFP, or you know, to we've had really large companies who hire us simply based off of a proposal without even having met one time, which is wild to me. And knowing what I know, that so many people at these agencies, like, they're come and go. Projects can get kind of started and dumped. I've witnessed just like horror story after horror story. Clients, what's happened to them before they've come. So I would say one thing, and this is not like really a technology related thing at all, but one thing that I would love to change about our industry is if there was some sort of system of like transparency, process, and success. And that would be so cool because we're a totally unregulated industry. There's not like a standard of like school that people have to go to, or a standard of success they have to meet to be in a certain bracket. If you show up to a meeting and you're confident and you have a certain amount of like clients on your roster, people just tend to believe what you say. And so I have thought for a long time, it would be so cool in our industry to have some sort of like website or standard or something that rates agencies based on their transparency, based on their processes, and based on their success. And success is obviously difficult to fully grade because each client requires something different. But I've thought for a long time that that would really help clients who are not in our industry choose the right fit for them. So yeah, if I could change one thing about this, it would for sure be that.
Yeah, I can believe it. I think, and even then, even when we, if I remember correctly from our last time with you, you know, you were really, you know, I could feel the excitement that you have with mentoring, you know, women and everything else in the tech and creative in that space. So would you say that that's something you definitely push forward when you're speaking to others and other women, that you push forward on that narrative that you were saying beforehand, to keep that in mind?
Yeah.
Fancy?
Yeah, 100%. Mentoring is something that I've accidentally gotten into in the past year. Something that I'm considering doing more of. And I've talked to Ren, my business partner, about it. And when we started out, we were women in a tech space. And like, this is full circle, talking about like telling your unique story and your brand. So when we started 13 years ago, we completely stripped the fact that we were women off of our website. We made our website look very like value oriented, and we completely erased us essentially from the brand. And we would sit in rooms, conference rooms with all guys, and they're looking at us, and I would get this comment all the time in meetings. Well, I don't want it to just look pretty. And this kind of like patient that like, because we're women, we're going to do the like, we're just going to make it look, we're just decorating the room kind of a thing. And then I love, and you know, that's just a decade ago. But over a decade, there has been so much progress, again, about like transparency, showing who you are, loving who you are. We're at a place now where our, you know, our website, we're all over it. We're a family-run agency. We're a boutique agency. We're women-run. And we love it. And the people that's going to vibe with, is we're going to find each other because you're being honest and authentic about who you are. And the people who are like, ew, not a lady, you know, they'll go a different direction. That's great, because like that'll be a better match for them. So we've had a lot of hard knocks and a lot of learning in this industry. And we do work with freelancers or contractors from time to time on certain like really specific projects. And some of them are women, and they've come to me and gone like, you know, Sarah, how did you do this? How do you manage a meeting where you're getting pelleted with really hard questions and you keep your cool? Or how are you handling like revisions that are so far out of scope? Or sometimes people try to take advantage of, I don't want to say completely that it's because you're female, but like just in general, like sometimes you get really pushed and taken advantage of in a situation, or someone expects more out of you than like your proposal stated. and how do you handle those situations? And so it started organically, and I just started mentoring some of the freelancers and contractors that we were working with. And they've gone on and gotten quite large contracts, and I'm so proud of them. They've grown so much, and it's been so awesome to see them grow in their confidence, in their skill. I just think mentorship is such a huge, huge thing that can help you. I had a really great mentor when I was coming up in this business. And so, yeah, that's something that I'm very passionate about. And I think that we might grow into more in the next year.
I know we've been, and I got so caught up with learning more. I wanted to segment more into like wanting to learn more about the mentorship that you had on that side, that's trying to be conscious of the time. But what would you say, like, from the side, what have been the core lessons or our mindset, you know, before we end off, on exactly what you share most with other women like that are navigating through on these tough clients or these leadership situations? What would you say?
Yeah, it's 100% confidence. So I noticed that, and I work with women and men, but I noticed that women tend to over-deliver, over-communicate. A proposal will look 2 to 10 times more complex than their male counterparts. And so just helping them to understand that you don't need to do more. You can peel that back a little bit and just know that you are enough. And learning that confidence is the biggest thing that comes up over and over. The confidence comes up in over-delivering. Lack of confidence comes up in undercharging. And lack of confidence comes up in staying true to the processes that you've set up. Because in our industry, clients can kind of run away with revisions and things like that. And you need to have confidence in yourself that you are the leader of this project. You're the leader of this ship. And when you display that confidence, everything will be more successful, you know, and it helps clients be at ease too, because they're like, honestly, kind of scared. Like, I've worked with large C-suite, large companies. This process is sometimes like redoing a site specifically. Marketing is something that they'll had their toes in a lot, but like redoing a full site, a big project like that, is something they might only do once or twice in their career. So they're actually looking to you for that leadership. So just learning that confidence through everything, every step is really helpful. It's really helpful. It's like a gift you're giving to the client. They go, oh, great, I can relax because I know you're taking care of it. And something I do before every meeting, every call, before this podcast is I take a couple deep breaths. I put my 2 feet on the ground and I ask to be open. I ask to be able to hear the information that is coming from the other person I'm talking to. And I ask to be the greatest help for them that I can be. And so I also think having like an intention when you go into each meeting or conversation is incredibly helpful in just centering yourself.
Yeah. And I really, you get so caught up on, even when I was even starting with the Solenox and so forth, as you get so caught up. And as you said, especially when you're starting out, it's that leader, it's that positioning of yourself. And because you want to please, you know, the clients, and you want to think of, especially with your statement of work with the SOW, is this going off? It's still one of the cases. And as you said, it's knowing those boundaries, knowing those points of you're leading the ship and you're wanting to do the best for it on the side, and keeping that in mind. So I'm really curious, and I'm really interested to see where you take it, like in your mentoring side as it goes forward, Sarah.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I'll stay in touch with you. I'll let you know how it progresses.
Yeah. So I want to ask, and I think you've touched on it, but I want to confirm, Alice, if you did have like a magic wand, Sarah, on the side of, if AI, whether it's ChatGPT-10 or, you know, on whether it's on the business side or on your personal side, what would you have, you know, AI utilize for?
Ooh, like to make my life better or work better. Mm. All right. I'm going to answer it on the personal side, because I think this would really help me at work. Fun fact, I have ADHD, and one of the ways that it affects me, like so many awesome ways, super creative, lots of thoughts, very chatty. This conversation's very fun. But I also don't experience time the way that other people experience time. So that make it challenging for me to like create a, like executive function essentially, to time out my day to like to really organize it takes an incredible amount of mental focus for me to do that. So my dream situation would be to have an AI that plans out my entire day, actually plans like a realistic day. I put so much in a day and it's never realistic. And I always feel behind even though I'm doing so much. And so I'd love an AI that plans all of that out for me and just organizes, essentially. That would be a dream. I had an executive assistant one time and she did all of that. And it was the best. And I would so love, I feel like there's programs now that can do that. So in fact, now I'm even talking to you, maybe I'll have to look into that more, but that would be my dream. I would love to do that, to get all of that handled. For some people, it's just so easy. But for me, it takes an incredible amount of effort to really manage my schedule as well as I think it could be.
My wife tries to get me to, because I'm the same way. It's so much I think I'm going to do. And I would love to. I started implementing it now. It was a lot of trial and error. I'm like experimental with utilizing an AI agent to help build out and exactly what you mentioned to build out. But beforehand, my wife was trying to like get me to more. I'm like, this is really hard for me to like, because there's so much and I can't really have a hard time with it. So but I'm hopefully this agent that I'm utilizing it's been working out so far. But you know,
if you like it, you'll have to send it to me.
Yeah, I will. I'll make sure on Sofa Does. It's definitely been helping in my emails at least on that side.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah. I'll tell you a little bit on it. But no. So this has been a really good conversation. I've really liked it because I'm always so curious on it. I know we've a little bit time over, but you know, I really like the side because I'm always so interested of on the branding side, especially on the marketing, on the branding, and even with the website, because I've talked with others that are, you know, other in the agency side. And it's always so interesting to me because everyone now has websites is always supposed to, you know, you have this side that tells it, but there's so much more that goes involved into it, whether it's in specifically on the branding, the colors, the messaging of it, the copyright. As you said, there's so many pieces of it. And, you know, based off of our original conversation, I really just liked your viewpoint of, you know, your method and how you went across this. And not only that, just on the family side as well. I love hearing it that you've come together as your tribe and you've moved forward, that it's been really working out well on the creative from your mom on the managing. So it's really refreshing to hear that and inspiring to that on that side.
Oh, thank you so much, Solomon. That has been a labor of love, to say it that way, from working with family to growing in this industry. And it's really cool. Ren and I, we look back and we go like, can you believe it's been this long? Can you believe that we still feel sometimes like everything. So because again, the industry changes all the time. So it feels like we're very advanced in some ways. In other ways, you're always still learning and growing and trying to find out the next best thing. But yeah, it's been a really cool journey and it was really special to share it with you today. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. And then so for the folks that are listening in the audience, where can they learn more about you, Sarah, either whether on LinkedIn or from the creative side on Jolly Creative? Where can they learn more?
Yeah, absolutely. Come visit our website, jollycreativeagency.com. And that's spelled JOLLY, like Christmas season style. So yeah, come on over to our website. You can check out a little bit about what we do. Reach out to us. The people who are going to be reaching back out to you is going to be myself or Ren. We're very accessible and pride ourselves in that, actually, in making genuine connections. And if you've connected with anything today, come on over, see what we do. Check us out. Please reach out if you have any interests or questions or anything. I always tell people once we've met, especially if we've made a good connection, we're friends now. So write me, let me know what's going on. I'll write you and let you know what's going on. And it's a great place to information share. You know, we're in a very interesting industry during a very interesting time. So I'm always saying that to my friends in the industry, like, guys, we got to information share. This is we all help each other so we can help our clients. Anyways, I got off on a tangent, but yes, come over to our website, check out what we do, and please say hi.
No, of course. For everyone listening, thanks so much for tuning into the episode with Listen to Sarah. So this was a great conversation. So we'll check you next time on the next episode of the AI Advantage. Take care, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to the AI Advantage. If this episode sparked an idea, share it with your network. Subscribe for more no-fluff conversations on how smart tech drives real outcomes. And if you're ready to future-proof your business, let's connect at salonox.net.